Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today, Tuesday podcast on September 23rd, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by CJ Miller and Greg Allen on the news today, including a suggestion to be on the lookout for vomitoxin in corn this fall. And precision agriculture is making a difference on the farm, according to a new report. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. The Indiana Farm Forecast coming to with HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Another couple of days of rain chances. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all posted a sell-off again. John Zanker, market analysis on the way on the HAT Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Being mindful of vomitoxin and technology drives major gains for farmers nationwide. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Now that harvest season is underway, one of Purdue University's top agronomists is telling corn producers to be mindful of vomitoxin, which could cause problems well after harvest. CJ Miller has more.
We found it. I mean, it's out here. A lot of areas that I thought were dry and we probably wouldn't see it, but it's very low levels, right? I wouldn't expect any dockages issues from what we found, but it's there.
That's Dr. Dan Quinn, corn specialist with Purdue Extension. On the latest episode of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, he shares that vomitoxin is not easy to spot.
The challenge with vomitoxins is it's really hard to see it unless you get out and pull hus back all across the field. Can't just drive through past a field or even walk a field in a lot of areas and say I have ear rots or not, like you could on a foliar disease.
He says that vomitoxin can also have a negative impact on your corn long after harvest, while it's in storage.
Another thing with vomitoxins is not only when you harvest, but getting it dried, getting it below 14% moisture in the bin, and then storing it in a cool, dry place. So not only can ear rots kind of persist and get worse on the ears, it's out in the field. If you don't store it properly and you don't dry it correctly, it also can get worse in the bin.
And as corn dries naturally in the fields, Quinn says that helps to lower the risk of vomitoxin.
The bad years are when that corn is just not drying down. 2023 was probably the worst year that we've had. Outstanding grain yields, outstanding grain fill during that year, but there's a lot of areas in the northern part of the state, and I think we talked about that, it just wasn't drying down. So that's typically where we point to where we have issues with the really bad years with ear rots, but it doesn't mean that, you know, it's not out there and we can still have issues, but, you know, this hot, dry weather, drying it down quickly is going to help. With that.
Learn more about the challenges facing Indiana's corn and soybean producers this harvest season on the latest episode of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast. You can watch it on Hoosier Ag Today's Facebook page, the Hoosier Ag Today YouTube channel, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm CJ Miller.
A new report from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers highlights the growing impact of precision agriculture in the United States. This approach uses advanced tools like GPS-guided tractors, soil sensors, and data analytics to help farmers manage their land more efficiently. Senior Director of Agricultural Services with AEM, Austin Gellings, talks about the findings and goals behind the report.
The goal was really to bring the ag community together to help quantify and tell the story about the role that precision agriculture and precision agricultural technologies can play both in on-farm conservation and tell the story about the role that technology plays in that, but also then tie that to the increased efficiency that we see from these technologies, the ROI that can bring a farmer as well, and kind of pair those two together, how efficiency and conservation kind of go hand in hand.
The results? Impressive. The report shows that productivity on farms using precision techniques has risen by 6 to 7%. That means more food grown on less land.
We found a whole bunch of numbers like that through increased efficiency and use of herbicide by needing to use 54 million pounds less of herbicides as a result of these technologies. And same goes for fertilizers.
Experts say this is not only helping farmers improve their bottom line, but also reducing the environmental footprint of agriculture. As technology continues to evolve, the report suggests we can expect even bigger gains in the years ahead. For now, one thing is clear. When it comes to feeding the future, precision is paying off. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a couple more days of wet weather over the Hoosier State. Today we have lingering showers early on in south and southeastern parts of the state. But if there's a day that we miss out generally over Indiana, I think it is today. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying it will be dry. For example, late this afternoon into this evening, we can see some action trying to pop up in west central northwest Indiana. But generally, we are also seeing ourselves in between big waves of moisture for your Tuesday. The next big one is coming out of the Missouri Valley through the Missouri Boot Heel, southern Illinois, and into southern Indiana overnight tonight into tomorrow. That one will have some potential for strong to severe weather, especially from I-70 southward, but it will end up giving rain in all areas of the state for tomorrow, especially tomorrow night and into early Thursday. Wraparound backside moisture finally completes a Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening. So from right now, right on through a Thursday overnight, I am looking at an additional half to at least 2 inches of precipitation. If some strong thunderstorms hold together coming out of the Missouri Boot Heel in southern Illinois, we can boost the totals to higher than that in southern parts of Indiana. So yeah, keep the umbrella handy. We're not done with the rain yet. 100% coverage on moisture over the next 3 days. We get into the later part of the week on Friday. We clear out pretty nice overall, and then that kicks off a dry pattern that will hold all the way through the weekend and all the way through next week. I think we will be rain-free from this Friday right on through next Friday. Overnight next Friday night, the 3rd into Saturday the 4th, there's a frontal boundary that's brewing to our west. I think it finally kicks out and moves through over the weekend. It will bring some rain for that first full weekend in October, anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch, coverage 100%. And behind it, I do think it resets our temperatures a little bit. I'm not thinking we're going to be below normal, but maybe we get back to what should be normal late September and early October temperatures. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
A sell-off throughout the session. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by Performance Livestock Analytics, helping Indiana cattle producers run more efficient cattle operations with real-time data on feed health and performance, all in one easy-to-use app. The final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market commentary. I grabbed that at the end of the session from John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. Markets lower throughout the trading session as we open up a new week and led lower by the soybean market, getting dangerously close to that $10 level on the nearby November contract. John, weakness all around. Beans in particular, is that a lot to do with nothing that we know of coming out of a President Trump to Xi call on Friday?
Well, yes, on the President Trump to Xi call, nothing did come out of that except for maybe TikTok. And I'm not sure that's going to make us a lot of money, or most of us a lot of money, or any money. But nonetheless, adding to that, we had Argentina suspending its export tax for at least 1 month or through the end of October, it looks like. And that's no small matter. I wasn't exactly sure what the impact of that would be, but Arlen Suderman in his midday comments said it was 50 cents on corn. So that could cut a little bit into our corn exports as well. So if it's 50 cents on corn, it's going to be pretty stout on soybeans, and that just makes their soybeans end product more likely soybean meal less expensive for the Chinese to import in October.
And that's unfortunate because corn exports have been keeping that market where it is.
Yeah, so really another really good number seasonally, 52.3, 10-week average, 52.8. A year ago, 45.3. So, you know, just everything's on track for corn and then some. And I'll be a little bit worried about the South Americans getting into our pockets here over the next 2 to 3 months. That huge second crop, safrina crop for Brazil, is going to start hitting the market. And so that's going to be a problem about the time that we have a huge crop here hitting us. Soybean exports of 17.8, you know, seasonally close, but I think the real damage, of course, is going to start coming here as we get to the end of the month. I was just looking at numbers here, and these are the 4 weeks during October last year. Soybean exports, weekly exports, 60, 70, 95, and 97. And I think this year will probably, with no Chinese involvement, and it certainly looks like that's going to be the case, I'm thinking we're going to see 30, 40, 40, and 40, or something like that. So in 1 month, we may drop 172 million bushels behind last year's pace, and the USDA currently has us down 190 million this year versus the recently expired year. So tough times coming there, and still a lot of soybean harvest to get through as well.
What is your thought about harvest pressure impacting the corn and bean markets as we open the week?
I think there was probably some coming, really, even in the Eastern Belt here. Most producers were able to get through the weekend getting something done. Heavy pressure probably likely out west. River volumes have fallen, just making the basis situation there a little bit rougher. Hopefully these rains will get some water back into the system and get that situation improved, because we have a lot of corn to move.
Let's shift over to the Chicago wheat market, down over a dime. Any particular reason there? Black Sea region, perhaps?
Well, perhaps, but another extremely disappointing reaction to a really strong export shipment number, 31.4 million, beats the 12-week average by 9.3 million. And you've been listening to me whine for, 7 months about the corn market not reacting to an exceptional export shipment pace. And here we go again on wheat. So I'm surprised. I was surprised with corn. I'm surprised with wheat. But that looks like the world that we're currently in. There are no production concerns anywhere. And it looks like Argentina, Australia are going to harvest a strong crop, and we're getting water on our winter wheat areas before planting. So, you know, just nothing good on the production side, or nothing supportive on the production side, and we just can't get out of a hole, out of this negativity.
Market commentary from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. His number is 866-837-9027. Now, the Monday settlements, 2.25 lower for December corn, 421.75. March, 438.75, down 2.5, and May down 2.5 at 448.5. November beans, 10.11, a loss of 14.5 cents. Jan contract, 10.30.5, down 14.25. And December wheat, 5.10.75, down 11.75. The meats strong, led by cattle futures. October live cattle, 237.15, up 3.57. And October lean hogs, 98.80, up 82. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.